Amen. Book of James, if you will. Book of James. I reckon we're on, aren't we? Yeah. Okay, good. Book of James. And tonight we were going to wrap up our study on the spiritual warfare. So I've got a lot to say. So I hope the Lord will help us. And I pray He'll help us to say a lot of stuff. And I pray that He'll help you listen. Amen. You know, sometimes when you're giving out a lot of stuff, it kind of gets boring to people. It's kind of like they're trying to soak in. I reckon their sponge gets full and they can't get any more. But anyway, I got a lot of stuff to give you. It's been a joy to be here. I've really enjoyed the meeting and enjoyed being around the pastor and Brother Kurtman and Brother Kuhn. You know, I'm glad to meet him. I've heard a lot about him, but I'm glad I got to meet him this week. Amen. That's a joke for y'all. Some of y'all don't know it. Amen. And you ladies, you did such a good job feeding us. I'm eating one meal a day and gaining weight. Amen. So it's good. Amen. James chapter number 4, if you would. And we'll start my reading tonight in verse number 4. James 4. And I'll start in verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Be seated. Let me pray with you. Then we'll give you what I feel the Lord have us to give you on tonight. So let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you again for this privilege of being here. And Lord, I want to thank you for saving us. And Lord, we just thank you for being able to remember that hour and that day, Lord, when you came to us and delivered us from sin, translated, Father, us into the kingdom of your dear Son. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done for us. And Lord, I want to thank you again for what Jesus did at Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for bearing our sins, letting the just suffer for the unjust, so that, Lord, we can know you. And Lord, I praise your name, and I thank you, Lord, to the best of my ability, Father, for what you've done. I pray now, Father, the Holy Spirit would move on us tonight. I pray you'd give us, Lord, the right spirit we need. Pray, Lord, you'd open my heart tonight to just receive what you have. Pray you'd open the hearts of those that hear tonight, that, Lord, you may teach us and show us, Father, how to live for you in a more victorious way. Father, do a work here. We'll honor you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me begin tonight by just rehearsing what we've covered already, and I'm sure you'll remember it. But on the first night on this series, we dealt with the introduction to our spiritual enemy. And then we dealt with the identity of our spiritual enemy. And last night, we dealt with the intimidation of our spiritual enemy. Now tonight, I want to deal with instructions for dealing with your spiritual enemy. I'm just giving you some instructions, and it'll be up to you to put in play what we give out. Now I'm going to ask you a question before we go any further. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been in what you thought was a battle with the powers of darkness? You ever felt you like been in one? Now let me ask you another question. Did you ever quote James 4:7? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Did you ever quote that while you were in the midst of a spiritual battle? Well, you may not have, but it's still there. I mean, God said that's one way you deal with it.
Right.
Well, here's God's thing today. In my experience is this. Many a time I've been in a spiritual battle with what I thought was the powers of darkness. I would quote the verse and, you know, and say, I'm resist the devil, but he never went anywhere. I'm just being honest, gut honest. You're trying to do what you know to do, and it doesn't seem like, and you know, the Bible said, smite yourself therefore with God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, many a time I've been in battle and trying to use these things, and he didn't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, the battle was still raging when I got done prayer. It was still raging just like it was before. Well, we know this now. We know there's nothing wrong with God's Word.
Right.
Amen. We know that God's Word is pure. God's Word is true.
Right.
God's Word is inspired. We know there's nothing wrong with the Word of God.
Right.
So the recourse to that is there must be something I was doing that wasn't working, or else, you know, Satan would have fled from me in my battle. So we want to try to give you some things tonight that maybe be a help to you. Now, first thing. Let me begin tonight by telling you what the objective of all this is. What is my objective? Is my objective talking about this? Like Pastor was saying the other night, seeing a demon under every rock, seeing a devil under every bush. Is that what this is for? No, it's not what it's for. The objective of all this is to help you and me to live in what we think is victory. Now listen to what the Bible said. I'm going to give you some verses. You can jot them down if you like. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, that's what the Bible said. But do you ever feel like you're not a conqueror? Yeah. And then here's what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:57. It said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in him. Well, the Lord said that. And he said he caused us to triumph. But I'm being honest. There's many a day in my life when I didn't feel like I was triumphing. I felt like I was being trampled upon instead of triumphing. Amen. And then 1 John 4:4. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world.
Amen.
Every one of us probably quoted that, right? I've quoted that no telling how many hundreds of times I've quoted that. Well, listen to this next one now. The Bible said in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, listen now, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, right? And then the Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. I know it is, even our faith. I'm telling you, brother, faith is a key, and I hope I can get across tonight, but faith is an absolute key if I'm going to ever live in victory.
Amen.
In Revelation 21:11, we've quoted this several times, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So these six verses I've given you here, neighbor, that we read and we quoted here, they seem so simple and maybe helping us get there to victory. And they are in a way, but I think probably there's other scriptures could be brought in. But these are probably tonight. Now, I want to try to stay within the bounds mostly of James 4 tonight. Now, there are seven things the Lord has impressed my heart with here that are absolutely necessary if I ever expect to overcome Satan in my battles with him. Seven things. Yeah, well, I'm not giving them to you now, but you can jot them down. Let's go. So number one, the necessity of salvation. Look at James 4, please. Look at James 4. Look at verse number 6. Lord said, now here's what he said. He said, but he giveth more grace. So what God does now in the idea of submitting yourself to God, resisting the devil, he inserts a verse here dealing with grace. I wonder why. Because if you don't have grace in your life, you will never ever overcome Satan.
Right.
Never. If God's grace is not working in you, if you've not met him in salvation, and the grace of God is not real in you, you are a casualty, neighbor, just waiting to happen. I promise you that. So God said we're saved by the grace of God. And so what about this now? Well, what is the condition of a sinner? The sinner is this. His condition is he is a child of the devil. Amen. Do you remember when you were lost? Anybody remember when you was lost? You remember you're out there unsaved, and did you ever start to do something that you knew was wrong and you knew you shouldn't do it, but there was simply a force or something that was pressing you and pushing you forward to do it? Well, that's because you're a child of the devil. And the Bible says the lust of your father you will do. See, as a sinner, you don't have any power to resist what Satan wants you to do. You may think you do, but you really don't have that power. And then neighbor will do his will. But anyway, as a saved person, see, as somebody born again and saved by God's grace, the Son of God has made us free. Amen. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Does anybody remember when you first got saved? I mean, like the very moment or two when you got saved. Do you ever remember how free that you really felt? I mean, God set you free, and you really did not understand what all He set you free from. But the Son of God set you free. And the Bible made it clear that neighbor, when He saves us, He delivers us, neighbor, from the power of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a translation. Amen. So I want to remind you, number one, and this, I'm not preaching anymore on it, but number one, there's an absolute necessity of salvation. Let me ask you, have you been born again? Have you been born again with evidence that you have been saved? Now, multitudes say they're saved, but if you get down to the core where there's evidence in their life, they really are not. I remember, now I'm not chasing that rabbit. So look in verse number 6 again. I don't have time, so look at verse number 6. So I'm going to give you two verses here, and I want you to see them. James 4:6, and then we'll read verse number 8 as well. Now let's read them, and then we'll comment. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verses 8. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So the second thing I'm saying is this. If I'm going to live in victory over satanic powers, then number one, there is a necessity of salvation. Number two, there's a necessity of sanctification. Now you look at these first things, I'm going to show you. You say, what does that mean? Well, sanctification means to be holy, to be pure. See, you cannot overcome Satan while you're reading a pornographic magazine. You cannot overcome Satan while you're watching something on television that's filled with all kind of ungodly mess. You're not going to do that. So there's a sanctification. In other words, you're putting away things that neighbor that are not in there. Now, that ought not to be in there anyway. So notice if you would now, here's what I want to show you. Look back at verse number 4. Go to verse number 4 now. So number 1, under this idea of necessity of sanctification, I must deal with relation sins, neighbor, they must be dealt with. Look at verse number 4. And you say, relation, yeah, you will understand. The Bible says, you adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God. When you've got a relationship with the world and not a relationship with God, you are not going to overcome Satan. You better hear that. Now look what the Lord said here. And indeed with the world. And by the way, you understand that the God of this world is Satan. You understand that, don't you? So this system out here is being operated by the power of hell. No wonder, you know, this thing's been talked about several times. But no wonder that halftime show on Super Bowl, no wonder it was as violent as it was. Why? Because the God of this world is having his way. The salt is losing its savor. The salt is losing its savor, and Satan is promoting himself more and more all the time. So the Bible said here that if I'm going to be a friend of this world, then God says, this is what I think about now. I don't care if you are saved. I don't care if you know the Lord, if you know Him, and you got a heart for this world, you got a thing for this world out there, God said, I want you to know, you are not my friend. You are not my friend, you are my enemy, and you will never, ever, ever experience victory in your soul because you're the friend of the world. So number one, I've got to sanctify myself from relationship sin with this world. Look at verse number 6 again. Now notice what he said now. He said, he gives more grace, but he said, God resisteth the proud. So it doesn't say it like this, but you ought to understand it. If God's going to resist the proud, then if I want to have victory, I've got to deal with pride. I have got to sanctify my life, neighbor, from the reflecting this pride in my life. Now, I don't know if this is all the way true or not, but you can find somebody that's got pride in their life, and it almost reflects in their face. You can almost see it in their eyes, see it in their face when there's pride there. So if the Lord said, all right, if you want to have victory in over Satan, you're going to have to deal with this pride issue. This pride issue has to be dealt with. You say, no, brother, well, surely God don't think that much about it, because after all, he made us and we are to be proud of ourselves. No, I want to tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said, these six things that the Lord hates, you seven, are abomination to him. You know the first thing he said? He said a proud look. So evidently pride must show up in the look. What do you think? So he says here, neighbor, that I'm going to have to sanctify myself in this pride issue here. Now look at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7 now. Then he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. So the word submission here means, you know what it means? It means, of course, yielding yourself to God. But what is the opposite of submission? What's the opposite of submission is rebellion. And you know what rebellion is? Rebellion, neighbor, is actually not submitting to God. If I'm not going to submit to God's word, I am in rebellion. Are y'all listening to this now? So Brother Kurtman graciously gave us this verse the other night. But listen to what it said in 1 Samuel 15. Oh, listen carefully now. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Period. That next phrase tells you why God said rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. The next phrase tells you why God says that, why God looks on it that way. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. When I'm not submitting to God, I'm rejecting the word of the Lord. If I'll not give my heart and life to God, I'm rejecting the word of God, because God made it clear that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to have to deal with this issue, neighbor, about submitting and about rebellion. I'm going to have to submit myself to God and get this rebellion. And see, nobody in church likes to be called a rebel. Amen. Some of those guys out there riding their motorcycles, you know, they want to be called a rebel. But I'm telling nobody else, if God wants to be called a rebel, though they are there, amen, and though they some not, may not fill our pews, but they're there in our pews, but they don't want you to call them a rebel. Amen. But the point I'm saying is not, if I'm going to have victory now, I'm going to have to learn to deal, neighbor, with this rebellion in my heart. Brother Wills, God's people don't have rebellion. That is not true, and you know that's not true. You've rebelled against God. There have been times God asked you to do things, and you would not do it. Right. Amen. And that's called rebellion. So let me move on and say that. Now go to verse number 8. Watch this now. I want you to see it now. Look at verse number 8. And so he said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And then he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, let me show you this now. If I'm going to have victory, that it is necessary that I sanctify my life. I've got to deal with this. I've got to deal with the world issue. I've got to deal with the pride issue. I've got to deal with the rebellious issue. But now, I've got to deal with some sins. Now, I want you to see this. I hope you see it the way I do, but if you don't, that's just your business. But I want you to see this. The Lord has broken this thing up, and he said, draw nigh to God. Then he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Are y'all listening to me now? All right, so watch me now. I want you to see me. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it. All right, so I want you to see this. Can y'all see that? Can you see that, Gary? Well, I've taken a pen, and I've written on the palm of my hand. Can y'all see it back there? Can you see it, Ricky? Too small? Need glasses. Amen. All right, so here's the idea. Well, anyway, this idea, I put something on my hand intentionally, neighbor, that is on my hand you can see. Right? So, what is on there is obvious. Is that right? All right, so God said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. So what God is telling me is, you've got to deal with the sins in your life that are obvious. The sins that are obvious, you've got to deal with them. If you don't deal with the obvious sin, you're going to be defeated. You're going to be casually somewhere if you're not willing to deal with the sins that are obvious. What would that be? Well, I don't know what it might be for you. I don't know. It might be fornication. Yeah, it might be. Not here. You'll never know you just never know where that stuff is cropping up. Amen. And so, it might be fornication. It might be filthiness. It might be foolish talking. It might be jesting. Amen. I mean, God might be dealing it with the Holy Ghost. It might be speaking to you sometime. And you make a joke out of it. See, that's sins that are obvious. Bad language. You know, I was preaching in church the other day. And I got to preaching about bad language. And I know the Sunday school teacher got awful quiet. So he must have been having some bad language. So if you're not going to deal with the sins that are obvious in your life, you cannot expect victory. Now, notice something else. He said to cleanse your hands, your sinners, right? But what else did he say? He said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that means now, I have got to deal with the sins in my life that are obvious, but I've got to deal with the sins in my life that are not obvious. What would that be? Well, I might be mad at you. Amen. I might not like you. I might be jealous of you. I might be bitter of you. Amen. No telling what might be, but he's talking about dealing with those sins that are inward. Like what? Like evil thoughts. I don't know how other people live. I don't know. I mean, I'm not inside their life. I don't know. But I'm telling you, I don't like a single evil thought to come in my mind. I don't know about you, but the moment I sense an evil thought that's entered my mind, John, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, get out of my mind immediately. See, if I've got these inward sins of evil thoughts and covetous and, bitterness and anger and wrath, all these other things hidden within, I'm telling you, God's not going to let you be an overcomer.
Right.
He's not going to let you be, you must deal with those sins that are inward. Now, let me say a couple more things to you. Number three, I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. Number one, there's a necessity of salvation. Number two, there's a necessity of sanctification. Number three, there's a necessity of submission. I cannot overemphasize this business of submission. Amen. I've heard men say, preach and say, well, I tell you, you got to humble yourself. And they're so full of pride, you could kill them for Thanksgiving turkey. Amen. And I'm telling you, see, God knows when pride is there. I'm telling you, brother. So, see, God, I know I said this the other night, but why is submission so important? See, you have no power to overcome Satan on your own. I don't care who you are. You gut it up, you know, bold it up, act like a cocky, you know, peacock. But you still have no power on your own able to overcome Satan. Well, if I'm going to overcome him, do I need an outside power? Yes, I've got to have the power of God. God's power has got to be in me, and God's got to give me his power. See, that's why submission is so important. See, when I submit to God, now God, I'm in a position where God can pour his strength in me and even overcome my weaknesses to overcome the power of hell. It is so important. You cannot make it without that. Neighbor, if you got a little spark of resistance in you about submission, you can't make it. Amen. Now, hang with me a minute. I'm going to give you a couple more things. Now, I want you to listen to me. So here's number four. Number four is the necessity of settling some things in your life. The necessity of settling some things in your life. So what I mean by that? Basically, I mean your faith. I'm telling you, what I'm about to tell you is extremely important. This, you'll find this in 1 Peter 5:9. Whom is steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction is accomplished in your brethren in the world. Now, let me, Lord help me to say this correctly now. So let me define what faith is. You know the verse, don't you? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, the word substance there basically has the idea of an under-setter. In other words, a pillar or something that's holding you up. See, like this platform here. See, I'm being held up on this platform, but what's holding me up? You say, well, it's a plywood. No, no, no. Well, plywood might, you know, but there's something more. See, built inside this platform here, there are little pillars and the little supports in here that hold me up. See, that's what God said faith is. Faith is the undersetters that keep you from caving in, even whenever you're facing the power of hell. Telling you, brother, faith is an absolute key here. You cannot overcome Satan without, maybe, the faith of God in your heart. Active faith. Amen. So, now let's see what I get out of this now. So notice that the two important things in 1 Peter 5:9. And he said, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So the two things I better get settled is, number one, is my faith and my steadfastness. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means to me. And a steadfast means you're not making me go nowhere. This in my territory here. This in my ground, and you ain't taking it. Right. Amen. You are not getting my peace. You're not getting my joy. You're not getting my victory in my life. That's steadfastness. Right. See, God is saying, look, you're not going to get anywhere by being a double-minded man. Right. You know, if you're hot one minute, cold the next minute, you're believing one minute, you're doubting the next minute, you're believing the next minute, you're doubting. See, that is a double-minded man. See, you're not going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish, even being a double-minded person. So God says, I want you to be steadfast. Now, hang with me a moment now. I'm going to try to give you some, and maybe the Lord help us here. So here's my thrust I want to get a hold of tonight. And I hope this goes home better than anything else. You must be stubbornly believing God and believing God's word. I mean, you must be stubborn in believing God and believing God's word. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I'm telling you, brother, that Bible said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp and intricate sword. Do you believe that the word of God has power? Do you believe that? I believe with all my matter, but I believe it more today. I have ever believed it in my life that word of God has more power than you ever dreamed it has. Amen. I'm telling you, it has power. So now watch. Let me say a couple things to you. Number one. So you must have faith in the Savior's death. Hebrew must be settled. In your heart, do you have faith in your heart that the Savior's death settled it all? Hey, you cannot have, that is the foundation. Right. You cannot go any farther if you don't have faith in his death on the cross of Calvary, then it settled the issue. Amen. 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 And then number two, how about faith in neighbor Satan's disablement? Is that settled in your heart? Well, I don't know if it is or not, but is it settled in your heart? Amen. You must have faith that neighbor that Satan has been disabled. You say, well, he's on a leash. No, he's not on a leash. But he has had his teeth pulled in relationship to us. Amen. The Bible said, that, as a matter of fact, the Bible said, 1 John 3:8, the Bible said that the Lord, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Right. Has he been defeated? Yes. Y'all not sure? Has Satan been defeated?
Yes,
absolutely, Satan's been defeated. And if so, has he been judged? Yes. John 16 said this very plainly. It said, the prince of this world is judged. Has Satan been defeated? Yes. Has Satan been judged? Yes. Has Satan been spoiled?
Yes.
Hey, we demonstrated that on two. We demonstrated, was it Monday night? I think it was Monday night. We demonstrated that with first name. Huh? Trevor. I'm sorry, Trevor. I have an excuse. I'm over 50. I can't remember. All right, so when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he spoiled the principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So when Christ died at the cross of Calvary, Hebrew, the Bible teaches us that he defeated Satan. He's now judged. He has been spoiled. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
Do you believe that? Now, I want to make a statement to you. Do y'all know that's true? Do y'all know what I said is true? I'm not asking you if you believe it, but do you know what I said is true? The Bible said that Satan's been destroyed. The Lord destroyed his works. He's been defeated. Amen. And he's been judged. Amen. Do you know that's true?
Yes,
you know that's true. Now let me say something to you. Knowing it's true up here and not put it in active faith in here does you no good.
Right.
A truth that is true, a principle that's true, if it's not activated, it has no power. Mm-hmm. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Is that true? If I don't activate that by faith, then that truth has no power.
Right.
That truth has no power in my life if I don't activate it, maybe by the faith of the Son of God.
Right.
Amen. So notice again, if you would now. Do you have faith even in the scriptural dependence? Do you have faith in what the scripture says is absolute truth and absolute authority? Do y'all understand what I'm driving at tonight? I know I've been driving. This is why this is the last service. Because this stuff does begin to get monotonous as you keep going. But I'm telling you, brother, listen to me. See, this is what I'm finding is not happening. That God's people, they ever come to the altar somewhere, and that somebody gives them a verse of scripture or something, and they say they believe it, and I'm sure they do, and they get saved by God's grace. But somewhere along the way, this Bible becomes a good book to have handy, but it's not a book to live by anymore like it used to be.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Amen. Do you have faith in what God said in His Word? Do you? Do you have faith in this word that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world? Do you have faith in that? Can you believe in your heart that God is greater than anything in this world? Do you believe that He's greater than Satan? Then why does He punch us up so bad? Amen. So let me give you another one, Chris Young. So, do you believe that neighbor that the scripture tells us that greater is He that's in me than He's in the world? Number two, do you believe that God has invested any power in you at all?
Yes.
Y'all not sure? Do you believe that God has invested any power in you?
Amen.
All right, let me give you a verse of scripture that we quote all the time, but we miss the last part of it. Now, unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Boy, when we want to talk about how great God is, we'll say, unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Right?
Yep.
You know what the rest of it says? It says, according to the power that worketh in here.
Amen.
Has God put any power in you?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you know why Satan keeps you depressed? You know why Satan keeps you pushed down? He knows if you ever get the principles, what God's given us the world, in this word about overcoming Him, you're going to be a tyrant neighbor that cannot be overcome by the power of the hell. That's why I want to keep you suppressed, keep you down, so you will not learn that neighbor the principle of victorious living over the power of hell. Amen. God has put power in us as a saved person. Amen. Has God put power in your position? Yes. Has God put power in your prayers?
Yes.
Listen to what the Bible said. I think maybe this might be one that Brother Kirkman quoted again the other night. It said, now listen to what it said. Now let me ask you this question. What does all mean? Would anybody like to tell me what the word all means? Well, you know, like somebody said, all means all and that's all it all means or something like that. So what does all mean? Oh, well, you understand what it means. Now listen to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 20 said this. In all things, oh yeah, listen to me. In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, you'll get it?
Yep.
Does anybody know the next word?
Believing.
See, you see how important this business of faith is,
right,
in neighbor, our warfare? It is so important. He said, all things whatsoever you pray, believing, you shall receive. So he's saying here now, listen, he's saying, do you have faith in the scriptural dependence of his word? Do y'all believe he can be resisted? Why do you believe that? It's because God said it. He said, whom is this steadfast in the faith? Are y'all listening to me now? Now, I want you to, I'm not gonna labor this point, but I want you to look, if you would please, in Matthew 18:18. I want you to see it for your own self. And this verse is definitely given in relationship to prayer. Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18. I want you to see it now. Matthew 18:18 said this. Are y'all there yet? All right, so now, do you see verse number 19? See verse number 19? Again, I say to you that two of you shall agree on earth as anything they shall ask, right? So the context here is prayer. Now look at verse number 18. He said, verily I say to you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? Now I'm going to tell you what I believe this means. I'm going to tell you what I believe in that. Now I may be wrong, but I'm going to claim it till I die. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Do I want Satan to have free reign to run up and down my life?
No.
Then what I want to do is I want to bind him. I want him to be bound so he's not going to give me a hassle all the days of my life. Look what that verse said. Look at it again. Look at it. Put your eye on it. Whatsoever ye shall bind, help me, on earth, next phrase, in heaven. Here's what God is saying to me. If you will believe what I said, if you'll claim what I said in the spiritual warfare, if you'll claim it, the binding power of God, if you'll claim it, I'll respond to that claim. If you do the binding through the scripture and do prayer, if you do, and by the way, a pure life, holy life, a godly life, you're not trying to be no super of any end, nothing like that.
Right.
But you're just trying to live right. And God said, if you'll claim, you'll believe what I said in my word, if you'll bind, I'll respond to you in heaven.
Amen.
Yes. But look at the rest of it. He said, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Have you thought about loosing yourself? Have you thought about loosing yourself for His glory? Have you thought about taking your hands off of your life? Have you thought about taking your hands off of your will and your life and yield Him? God said, whatever you loose here, you loose it down here. I'll respond up here. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Now I hope that don't seem like it's going out on a charismatic limb to you, but it's really not. It's just believing what God said in the Word. Amen. Then he said in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now let me give you a couple more things. I'm done. First closing. Number five, the necessity of standing. We're talking about doing battle with the power of the hell. But there's a necessity of standing. Back to James. Submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil. Remember that?
Yep.
And that word resist is like a military term, which means you're standing against. You're opposing something here. And here's what you're doing. Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you turn to Ephesians 6, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but turn to Ephesians 6, that's the chapter that's dealing with the armor, the Christian armor. So we're resisting him, even with a godly demeanor, a godly conduct. Now, listen to what the Bible said. You remember the piece of armor? Remember some of it? The Bible said, having your loins girt about with truth, that's a conduct.
Right.
And having your breastplate on the righteousness, that's a conduct we're living. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Neighbor, that's a conduct. And above all, and look here what he said. In that armor, he said, above all. You remember that?
Yep.
Remember that? And he said, he lifts armor, then he makes a specific thing, note here. He emphasizes the shield of faith above everything else.
Right.
If your faith is weak, you're going to be a defeated Christian. You will be defeated if your faith is weak. That's why he said, now, get that shield of faith out. So here's what I'm saying. If I'm going to resist him, I've got to resist him, neighbor, with a conduct in my life that's godly and holy.
Amen.
Amen. And then notice something else now. In Ephesians 6, 8, look, now I know you're not there, but Ephesians 6, 18 said this. It said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, I hope this is not you, but I am seeing today Christians that want that close walk with God, but they want a 5-minute prayer life.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe in reading that Bible. I believe in studying. I believe in reading books. I believe in all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, the most important thing in my life is prayer. I'm telling you, brother, if I have a choice, if I've got to make a choice between reading that Bible and prayer, it's going to be prayer. You know why? Because he told me to do it first, is what he said. Well, as quiet as we got here tonight, as quiet as we're getting, we know that's a problem.
Yes, sir.
Until you get your prayer life in order, you're gonna be neighbor up and down and sideways in between. You'll never know what it's like to walk in real victory until your prayer life, brother, it's the way God wants it. Amen.
Amen.
So, he said, we're to pray always, and that's in relation to that armor. Then may I say this tonight, there's a godly determination that you need.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let me give you this story. I'm preaching this revival meeting in this church, and if I'm not mistaken, we're in a 3-week meeting if I remember correctly, and they got me staying in a little small trailer on a lonely road, no street lights, it is spooky. I'm staying way out here in the middle of boonies, and I mean nothing's around. And I think it was Wednesday night, we had the worst service, neighbor, of the meeting. I mean, it was horrible. Bad. So I go this spooky little motel, this spooky little trailer. So when I get in the trailer, I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I heard this voice, not audibly, but I heard it in my head. And it said, would you like to know why you had a bad service tonight? I said, it might be interesting to know. And the voice said, you're a lost preacher. Yeah. You know what I did? I said, I'm going to bed. I'm not joking. I mean, that really happened. You know why? Perseverance. Determination that you're not going to listen to that filthy voice that comes to you.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know where the best place to get rid of a door-to-door salesman? You know where the best place to get a hold of him, get him rid of him is? You know the best place to get rid of him? Number one, don't open the door. Number two, if you do open the door, don't ever let him get a foot in between the door and you. Amen. The best place to stop him is before he ever gets started. The best place, neighbor, to deal with the power of hell is before they ever get started in your life. Determination. Determination. Oh, let me say this. You remember David? He's going against Goliath. You remember this? Listen now. Here's what he said. He said, this day will the Lord. Does that sound like faith? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And he said, now look here now. He said, the Lord's going to do it. The Lord's going to deliver you. And then he said, I will smite thee. And he said, and basically he said, and I'll take thine head from thee. I will give thy carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day. Amen. You know why? He said that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel.
Amen.
Would it not be something if God's people would get a hold of the principles of living in victory, quit playing the game with Christianity, get down to the serious business with God, learn what it's like to overcome the power of the hell, and become an army, brother, that I mean so the others around here could see that there's a God over there at Island Ford. I'm telling you, that's why we're not doing much good these days. See, nobody thinks anybody's got any power, and we don't. They think all the power's in Benny Hinn. But I'm going to tell you, God's got power to give us.
Amen.
If we do it His way. Amen. Amen. So the necessity of standing, necessity of praying, drawing out of God. You saw that in James 4:8, didn't you? Right? All right, let me give you this and I'm done. The necessity of success. Is there any success? Can I really live this way? I don't know. Do you want to? I don't know if you can or not. If you don't want to, you can't. If you don't want to believe that word and step out, look here. Best I remember, Peter still got the record for walking on water. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Do you know how he walked on water? One word of God.
Yep.
He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, what? Uh-huh. Now, I said somebody the other day, I said, is that, how many syllables is in that word? Only one. Peter stepped out on one syllable of that word.
Amen.
He stepped out on one syllable from the Son of God and walked on water.
Amen.
I'm trying to impress on your heart tonight how powerful that word is. Amen. How powerful God's word is. One syllable caused a man to walk on water. And for centuries now, men have been talking about him walking on water.
Amen.
On one word.
Yep.
One
Amen.
Word from God.
Amen.
Yeah. Are you interested in your own private life? I'm telling you ain't going to get her tomorrow. You're not going to get, Lord, I'm not saying this to be boastful. Please don't let them think that. But you're not going to get where I am tomorrow. And I'm not perfect, but I've learned some principles. I've learned some things along the way. And I've had to step on the limb and go against some things that other men told me you wasn't supposed to do. I found what God said in that word, He meant.
Amen.
I cannot emphasize that. What God said in that book, He meant it.
Amen.
You can step out on one of those verses, neighbor, and cut the limb off behind you, and you can still stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I got one little bad word to give you, and I'm done. Jesus resisted the devil. You remember I told you that? That's a great principle, Matthew. You ought to get it.
Yeah.
He submitted, then he resisted. I mean, he's not going to give you a principle and then not practice it.
Right.
He submitted, and then he resisted. And then, neighbor, the Bible says, and Satan departed from him for a season. The bad word tonight is this. There's victory. But it all has to be done again and again and again and again.
Yes,
and again.
Sir.
You get victory today over him? Have you ever, let me just finish up here. You get victory over him and your heart is free to worship God. And I don't know what the space or time will be. I guess it'll depend upon your walk with the Lord. I don't know. But he'll come again. And all will be to do again. We were talking today. I believe I'm right. Somebody made mention of Dottie Rambo today. I don't remember who it was, but somebody made mention of her. And I believe this is a chorus from her song. Why would I want to live, like I'm talking about? Well, I got these words and I thought maybe this will fit. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many of them.
Yeah.
Too many of them to let the devil kick me in the teeth now.
Amen.
Too many of them to let the devil ruin my life now. Amen. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. Amen. I've just got too much to gain to lose. I believe she wrote that. So I hope you'll get these CDs or whatever it is you do here. I hope you'll get them. And I hope you'll get serious about wanting some help. I remember clearly when I started pastoring. I mean, I was the most depressive young man you ever seen. I mean, depressive. I didn't know how to live for him. I never had a mentor, whatever that is. I never had one. It was just all, you know, it was all trial and error. I mean, that's just how it was to me. Yeah. And I had so many things to depress me. You know, every young preacher wants his work to grow, wants to see fruit. And then every time you look around, you're in the reverse instead of the positive, you know, instead of going forward. And I'd get so down. And I don't know where this happened. But one day I saw myself like a soccer ball on the field. And Satan was the only player on the field. And he was kicking my little old self around all over the place. You ever felt like you've been kicked around? Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt. And somewhere in my little heart and mind, I said, if there's a way, this is going to stop. There's a way, this is going to stop. And there is a way.
Amen.
I found the way. Wouldn't you want to have the way? I mean, would you like not to live in that way?
Right.
Amen. Get the CDs. I'm sure they'll help you. Come on, preacher. I'm done.